Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio's Unveiling the Mysteries of the Bible. This program is brought to you live by the JC Overcomers Ministries out of Nebraska City, Nebraska. I'm your hostess, Cheryl Fisher. My co-hostess, Lily, I think, has just joined us. You want to say hi, Lily?
Hi.
Praise the Lord. Good to see you, girl.
Hi, forever.
Hear you, I guess. Praise the Lord.
Can you hear me?
Yes?
Okay, good.
Yeah, I can hear you. Lee is from Texas. Okay. After the main teaching, which is also the time we will be accepting calls, I would like to invite anyone that wants to call in to call in at that point. After tonight, we'll be moving to a new time every Thursday to 11:30 p.m. to 12:30 p.m. for 1 hour. So we will be just a half hour later than tonight. Please come and join us every Thursday evening at 11:30. During each of these programs, I'm going to share with you some of the treasures that I have found during my treasure hunt into the Word of God, and some of the miracles I've seen during that walk. We will be digging into some of the mysteries only God Himself can reveal to us. Excuse me. Tonight, I'm going to share a teaching called, Who Are We Going to Serve, the Devil or God? But before we get into that, I want to open this up with prayer. And in order to do that, we're going to turn to, let me see, I've got it all written down here, Psalms 19, verses 12 to 14 is one of the scriptures I'm going to use. Psalms 51, 9 to 13 is another one of the scriptures going to be used. Psalms 141, 1 to 3 is also another one of the scriptures we're going to use. And I do this because the offering of Jesus Christ is the Word manifested in the flesh, and He is our intercessor. And so because He is the Word manifested in the flesh, when we offer up the Word to God, we are offering up the body of Jesus Christ back to God as our intercessor. And so I'm going to pray the scriptures. Psalms 19, 12 to 14. Lord, I want to thank You first for being here, for being with us, for keeping us everywhere we go and in everything that we do, Lord. I ask You, Lord, to receive these words at my lips as that body of Jesus Christ offered back up to You. And I thank You for it in Jesus' name. Psalms 19, 12 to 14 says, Who can understand His errors? Cleanse Thou me from secret faults. Keep back Thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I need to get a drink real quick. Excuse me. Now, Psalms 51, 9 to 13. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Now we go on in Psalms 141, verses 1 through 3. Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a watch, O Lord, before my lips, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Lord, I ask you, I thank you for these cleansing prayers that washes me clean from any sin, any iniquity that I could have been committed recently. I thank you for the cleansing power of your word, Lord. I ask you, Lord, to guide us as we get into this teaching tonight. I ask you to guide my thoughts. I ask you to guide my words, that everything done and said here this evening will bring you glory and will open up the hearts and minds to truth from your word. I ask you to quicken your word to our hearts, Lord. Plow up the fallow ground, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now I got to turn to the teaching. I got this all typed up, ready to go. Okay, and this teaching is called, Who Are We Going to Serve, the Devil or God? And it starts out in Genesis 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Think about that just for a minute. Man was nothing but dust to start out with. Without God, that is, he was nothing but dust. Without that breath of life from God, he was just dust from the ground. That breath of life changed that man so much that it actually made him part of the family of God, because God's life was within him. He had part of God himself right out of God's own bosom as part of himself. God freely gave him that gift of life. But God also let man know that that gift of life could be lost. For that we go to Genesis 2, verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. As long as Adam believed God and obeyed his words, he would continue his life. Remember, the life that he had did not belong to him to begin with. That life came directly from God. He had no right to it. God willingly gave man part of himself. It was a gift from God. Then God showed him how to keep that life within him. God has never really asked a whole lot of us as his creation. All he has ever demanded from us is obedience to his words. That really is not a lot to ask of anyone, especially someone that was nothing but dust to begin with, I would say. So if we look at what God asks of us, it really is not a whole lot to ask, is it? Just believe in Him and obey what He says to do. Seems simple. God also formed Eve from a rib, from Adam's side, and she became his wife. This is written in Genesis 2, verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. The problem started when the serpent came on the scene. And that, for that we go to Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. So the woman also knew the commandment God gave Adam about not eating of the fruit of that tree. There is another part of this story that we need to be aware of, and that is described in Genesis 1, verse 26. And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Wow! God gave all that dominion over to man. He was over the entire earth and everything on it. He was even over the serpent. If man dominated the earth and everything on it, then I would say that was pretty nervy of the serpent to come into the picture and try to change things, huh? But the serpent, which is also called the devil and Satan and the dragon in the scriptures, knew if he could get man to obey him and come under his authority instead of God's authority, he would become their God instead of the true and living God. They would then be his children instead of God's children. He would then own them by their own free will. Instead of them having dominion over him, he would then have the dominion over them instead. God was their father, and they were his children. But the serpent was out to claim them for himself. He also knew if he could get them to believe him enough to obey him instead of God, he would get to rule over them and also rule over everything they had rule over. It would all then become his. If they were his by their own choice, then everything they had would also be his. Excuse me, I need to get a drink again. In order for him to have dominion over the earth and everything on it, he had to get man to come under his dominion and fall for his deception. He wanted man to worship him, just like they had worshiped God. He wanted to replace God in their hearts and minds. He wanted to be their God. Man was not aware of what the serpent was up to, though, or he may not have fallen for his lies. You see, the serpent knew how God's laws worked. He knew if we sin, we become the servants of sin. If we do righteousness, we become the servants of righteousness. Only one can be our master. For this we go to Romans 6, verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Matthew 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. We have to choose. We can't go both ways. That same thing still works for us today. If we obey God, we have the dominion over all the earth and all the things therein. If we obey sin, that sin has dominion over us instead, and all that was ours. So all the serpent has to do is convince us to believe his lies, enough to obey what he says over what God says. You see, the truth is just simple truth. God does not have to embellish it. It just is. We either believe it or we don't. We choose. The serpent, or the devil and Satan, as he is referred to in the scriptures, can say anything he wants to because he's a liar anyway. So he uses his words to deceive us into believing him instead of God. That's all he has to do. When we believe his words over God's truth, we receive the breath of death or the spirit of death. The Bible calls that spirit the spirit of error. When we receive his lies through his spirit and words, we have turned our backs on the spirit of life that comes only from God. Even if we just obey what he wants us to do instead of what God wants us to do, we are serving him instead of God. When God speaks his words, that same spirit of life that God breathed into Adam's nostrils carries those words right to our hearts. When the devil speaks his lies, his words are also carried by a spirit, which is the spirit of error, and death is the direct result. I don't know if you can hear that in the background, but good timing. There's a train going by, and I live pretty close to the tracks, so you'll have to excuse that if you can actually hear that on there. Okay, so depending on whose words we receive and obey, we become the servant of the one we obey, whichever one it is. That's who we become the servant of. It's automatic, according to God's word. Romans 8, verse 2. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The reason life is in Christ Jesus is because he is the Word of God. Through his sacrificial gift of his life on the cross, he overcame all temptation, and through that won a way for us to get back to God. So now, God's life is in his words. Luke 4, verse 4 will show us this. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Okay, I need to pause for just a minute because we've got a guest, number 9005, and I want to stop here and type in a welcome on the chat. I would like to welcome you. to the program, and we will be accepting phone calls here as soon as this teaching is over. So if you have any comments or questions, you're more than welcome to call in and ask those then. Okay, welcome to the program. All right, let's see, where was I? I think I lost my place. You cannot serve God and mammon. Let's see, I know I covered that. Do you remember where we were at, Lee? By chance?
What'd you say?
You remember where we were at by chance?
You just finished at Luke 4 and 4.
Oh, okay. Praise God. Thank you. Well, I needed that because I was going to back way up. Thank you, Jesus. Sure glad you were listening. All right. So the word of God, according to Luke 4:4, because it says, "And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. The word of God is what gives us life." Praise God. Okay, now we're going to go to John 6, verse 63. And it says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." So again here you see that the words are spirit and they are life. And those words are carried to us through the Spirit of God as the wind of God. Okay. Now Romans 6:22. "But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life." Serving God ends in everlasting life for us, with us having dominion over the earth and all that is therein, including the serpent himself. So we can get our inheritance back. So you see here, there are two families in the Bible, the family of God and the family of the serpent or devil. When we receive Christ, we become part of his body through the Word of God. The Word of God as a seed comes into our hearts and it's carried by that breath of life, the Spirit of God. That same breath of life God breathed into Adam's nostrils carries his word to our hearts. If we receive that word and obey what it commands us to do, we eventually become children of God. Well, the word of Satan, believe it or not, is also a seed, and it also is carried by a spirit. The Bible calls that spirit the spirit of the world, or the spirit of devils, and it also calls it a spirit of error. I need to take another drink. Excuse me. Now we go to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12, to see what I'm talking about here. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world," see, there's that spirit of the world, "but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Well, it looks like we've got another guest. Sounds like End Times, E-N-T-I-M-E-S. I want to welcome you also. If I can get this typed in here, get my computer working right. I think I need to expand this a little bit. I can't talk and do this at the same time. My brain doesn't work that way. So praise God. Guest 9005. All right. We'll be open for callers here in just a little bit as soon as I'm finished with this teaching. So if you have any questions, comments, or anything on the teaching, I'd sure appreciate it if you'd write them down, take some notes, and then get back to me. Okay, I know we were talking about the word of Satan also being a seed, and I think we had just got into 1 Corinthians 2:12. Does that sound about right, Lee? Still there, hon?
I'm not sure. I'm sorry.
That's
when
okay.
Somebody came to the door. I had to go answer the door.
Oh, okay. That's all right. Okay, 1 Corinthians 2:12 is where we'll go. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world. I know we did that. But the spirit which is of God. So here's there's two spirits again. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Okay, the spirit of God makes known to us the gifts that God has for us. Okay, God's spirit freely teaches us more and more about God. Because he wants us to get to know him. Ephesians 2, verse 2. Wherein in time past, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Remember, obedience leads to life, disobedience leads to death. So the spirit, there's another spirit that goes along with that disobedience. Okay. When we are in disobedience, there is a spirit working in us. Just like there's a spirit working in us when we are being obedient to God. And that is just what happened to them in the Garden of Eden. The serpent convinced them to disobey God's command. God spoke words to them that they were to obey. The serpent managed to convince them that God's words were not quite as true as his own. Every single day we choose who we're going to believe. The devil's words or God's words. We are either part of the body of Jesus Christ through his word, or we are part of the devil through his words, the body of the devil. One carries the spirit of life, the other carries the spirit of death. 2 Timothy 1:10, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Immortality is brought back to us through Jesus Christ, through our obedience to the word of God. James 5, verse 20. Let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. So if we come away from error and return to God and obey him, then our souls will be saved from death. Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 8, verse 51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Now I want to show you something else. If we believe God's word, we have life, right? What if we find out what we have been following is not what the Word of God really teaches us? If someone teaches us a lie, tell me, who do you think they're really serving? Who owns them, God or the devil? If a preacher teaches us something that does not agree with what the Word of God teaches us, is he following God or is he following the devil? If we give our money to a church that is teaching lies, who are we helping? We should realize we would really be helping the devil spread his kingdom. We are told to be good stewards over what God has entrusted us with. The reason I'm saying this is because I used to do it too. I gave tithes to people I thought were serving God and found out later that they were actually serving the devil instead. I ended up helping the devil build his kingdom, and I didn't even know it. How are we going to know whether a preacher or a priest is teaching us the truth or not? There's only one way, and that's by studying the Word of God and being in prayer, asking God to reveal to us whether something is truth or not. God will show us things if we're truly hungry for the truth. If we tell the Lord we do not want to be deceived, He will start to show us things about the world around us. God wants us to come away from the lies just as much as we want to come away from them, probably even more than we do. God understands fully where we will spend eternity if we continue following the lies of the devil instead of the truth. God does not want us to be deceived. But the devil is very busy laying snares for us, and he will use anyone he can to help him if they allow him to. If a priest, for example, asks us to call him Father, or expects us to call him Father, did you know that he is really serving the devil? I know you're probably shocked by what I just said. Well, let's look at this example in the scriptures to see if what I'm telling you is the truth or not. Remember, we're supposed to prove all things and hold fast that which is good. Matthew 23, verse 9. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. I agree with End Times. He says that's the trapper. I think that's what he's saying here. Amen. It'll trap you every time if we allow it. Okay, the Word of God says very plainly, call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Now, if a man says it's okay, because there's a good reason, who are they really working for, God or the devil? The Word of God is clear. If a man asks us to go against the Word of God, then he does not work for God, but he does work for the devil. In this case, that very man that wants us to call him Father wants to replace our God in our heart with himself instead. He's lifting himself up in the place of God. If we call him Father, when that position is only allotted to God, then he has replaced God in our hearts. How dare any man presume to replace God in any way at all? Who are we supposed to obey, God's word or a man's word? Here's another example. John 14. MECS says, good words is God's words. Amen. Praise the Lord. I agree fully. Okay, John 14, verse 6. And welcome to the group, Mex, however you pronounce that. Glad to see you here. We're going to be taking calls here shortly, I hope. So if you've got any questions or anything, you'll be able to jump in if you want to. Okay, John 14, 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This scripture is clear. There's only one way for us to get to the Father, and that is only through Jesus Christ, not through anyone else. Another scripture is 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So here we have two witnesses in the Word of God that you cannot get to the Father without going through Jesus. Remember, he's the door to the sheepfold. We can't get in there any other way, can we? If we want to talk to God, we can only do it through Jesus, because he said he is the only way. God says clearly there is one way, but man will try to tell us We can pray to saints or Mary instead. Who are we really going to believe here? God's word or the word of some man? Should we serve the lie or the truth? Will we spend eternity in heaven or hell? Here's another example. Some preachers teach once saved, always saved. But let's see what the Bible says about it. Revelation 3, verse 5. And I'm sorry if I'm hurting any feelings out there, but we need to come into agreement with what the Word of God says and only what the Word of God says. Okay, Revelation 3, 5 says, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life." Clearly, from this scripture, our name can be blotted out of the book of life even after it is in it. That sounds like salvation can be lost to me. That scripture also refutes that teaching. Matthew 10:22. "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved." We are not saved until we have not only overcome the lies, but also endured to the end. That cannot lose our salvation teaching is a lie. And it is from the father of lies, the devil. If we are being taught that in our church and we believe it, we are serving the devil instead of God. Man replaces God in our hearts because we believe him instead of what God's word says if we serve him. He is trying to be our God instead of God. How dare any preacher presume to teach us anything that goes against the word of God? God is my God, not some man. Now we've got one more. Okay, I got something from Mex. He says, "Mechanisms," oh, that's the name, "Mechanisms for Christ Jesus." Oh, praise God. It says, "He holds the keys. I live to be his machine." Oh, I love this. He says, "You are giving good word. God bless you." Well, God bless you too, Mex. Praise the Lord. Hey, I see Tower Painters on there. Praise God. Hi, guy. We'll be taking calls in just a couple of minutes here. All right, let's see. Mark 13, verse 24. "But in those days after the tribulation..." Now, this is another doctrine that I call false, okay? Mark 13, verse 24. I'm sorry, I need to get a drink again.
Did you say Mark 13 or Mark 15?
Mark 13, verses 24 to 26. 24 and 26. "But in those days after that tribulation," notice the words, "after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light." Verse 26. "And then," this is after the moon is not given her light and the sun is darkened, "then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory." Jesus comes after the tribulation. Oops. I guess if we have been taught that we will be out of here before the tribulation, that's another lie. The truth of the Word of God proves it. If we check the scriptures, we will also find that the tares are what's plucked up and burned in the fire first, not the wheat. The wheat are God's seed. The tares are the devil's seed. The first gathering is of the evil ones, not God's children. So if our preacher has been teaching us otherwise, tell me, who is he really working for? Whose kingdom are we helping by giving him our finances? God will hold each of us accountable. Who will we believe and serve, God or man, life or death, heaven or hell? We must all choose. Okay, guys, we're open for callers, so dial up. The number is 1-646-478-5014. So call in, please, and give us your comments. And if you have anything to add to this teaching, I would love to hear it. That number again is 1-646-478-5014. I don't see anybody calling yet. How about you, Tower Painter? It's good to see you here again. You've always got something to add. I haven't got through your teaching yet, but it certainly looked like a good one. And I started reading. I got about halfway through it, but I want to look up all those scriptures that you gave me, because it really stirred up some stuff in me, and you brought some things to me that I had not noticed before in that teaching. So if you'd like to call in, or anybody else that's on here, you're more than welcome. Would you like to say anything, Lee? We got about 20 minutes, 19 minutes to go.
No, I want to hear the comments from the guest.
Okay. There's End Times is writing, beware of a message that says it's all about you and God is here for your wishes and commands. Oh boy, amen. We're here to serve God with humility and awe through our lives and the work of our hands. Amen, amen. Because as soon as we lift ourselves up in place of God, you know, it's like you'll see healings take place in the church, and you'll hear about how people will lift up this man and say, oh, he's the great healer. I'm sorry, but no, that man is not a healer, because without the Spirit of God, he can do nothing, not a thing. It is in God's mercy that he uses us. All we are is vessels for him to flow through. That's it. We're nothing without God. And see, that is the mistake that was made in the Garden of Eden. You know, one of the things that the devil tempted him with was to be like gods. That is one of his main temptations that he puts on us. He wants us to think that we can be like God. No, we can have the Spirit of God living in us. And we can become more and more like him as we obey his word. But without our obedience to God's word, we will never have God in our lives. He expects us to be humble. And as soon as we lift up in pride above him, believe it or not, he's going to take us right back down. You know, it's like with the way people are talking about tribulation, that they're going to be out of here before tribulation. What about the people during the Holocaust? I'd say they already went through tribulation. What about the people that have been sick most of their lives? For example, I don't know what the man's name is, but I saw a program last night of this man that ministers to people, and he has no arms and no legs. And he ministers to people. He was born with no arms and no legs. But yet he has devoted his entire life to winning souls for the Lord. Now, I would say that his life has probably been a lot of tribulation. Wouldn't you? Have you ever seen that, Lee?
Yes, I've seen that man several times.
Isn't that awesome, the testimony that he gives? Just, you know, if you look at common sense, the devil wants us to believe anything that will take us away from God. If he can convince us that we're not ever going to have trouble in this earth, then when we do have trouble, the first thing that wants to come to our mind is, why did God do this to me? We should be expecting trouble, because we have to overcome the tribulations that come our way. We have to stand on God's word no matter what happens to us. For example, look at Job. Look at all the things that Job went through. But he still served God in the end. He was not willing to bow the knee to Satan. And he praised God through it. And every time he did, all that did was lift up God. He glorified God through everything that he went through. And that's what we're supposed to do. I haven't seen any callers yet. Is anybody going to call in? You're welcome to. Anyone? Let's see. We've got a couple messages on here again. Let's see. Tower Painter said it was long. Sorry about that. I'm not sure what he's talking about. He must have been listening to another message. Let's see. E-Time says, when a person comes to Jesus Christ for salvation and the forgiveness of their sins, there is a transaction that is taking place. Oh, praise God. This is awesome. God is purchasing a possession of the devil with the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, that is so awesome. Amen. And you know what? The devil is going to try to steal that possession back just like he did in the Garden of Eden. Look at how many times he got to convince the Israelites to turn their back on God. You know, God gave them the promises, the promised land, and one of the first things they did was start worshiping other idols and other gods and turn their backs on God. And we do that too. Every time we want to put something else in the place of God, we're lifting that up in his place. And you know what? He deserves to have our entire hearts and minds on him and him alone, because he's the one that was willing to send his son here to die on that cross. And think of it, you know, the life that Jesus went through, the whole time he was here, he had to know what he was going to go through on that cross for us. I can't imagine, you know, how much he was tormented with those thoughts, thinking about the things that he was going to have to suffer. And not only that, but he told us how that he was hated of men. And that wouldn't have started just when his ministry started. That would have started when he was real little. Think about it. Herod had tried to have him killed when he was 2 years old. So, you know, in our lives, if there's a lot of things that have come against us, if there's somebody out there right now that doesn't really know the Lord, but you just know in the pit of your stomach that you're here for a reason, that you don't understand what has happened in your past, but you just know that it's all happened for a reason. Let me tell you that all things happen for a reason. Nothing happens without a purpose. And in my own life, you know, I've been on the edge of death over and over and over again. I've even had, they did an MRI on my brain one time, and because I was so sick, just horrible, horrible sick. And I'm still sick, but praise God, when I'm weak, he is strong. Hold on a minute. Somebody wrote something else in. It says, Tower Painter, praise God. He says, concerning the tribulation, it would be wise to compare what John the Baptist said to the Pharisee in Matthew 3, verse 7, in comparison to what Paul tells the Romans, Romans 5, 9. Good study to get one thinking. Okay, if you want to call in and explain what you're talking about, we'd sure love to do that. I'd like to hear it. But I don't see anyone calling in. Oh, hey, wait a minute. Here we got somebody. Sorry about that. I missed somebody. Who we got on the line?
Hey, ladies. It's me, End Times.
Hey, praise the Lord. I'm sorry. How long you been waiting?
Oh, not very long at all. I just want to tell you, ladies, it's the first time I've listened to you tonight. I don't know how long you've been on, but it is such a blessing to hear people preaching the way they're supposed to be preaching and not the way that, you know, the churches are preaching these days. You're saying the truth, and the truth is the truth, you know. And just praise Jesus that you ladies are there, and you're doing a great job.
Oh, well, thank you very much. We're trying to do the word of the Lord, let me tell you. That's all we can do. Is stand up for him.
Well, it won't be the last night I listen to you, that's for sure.
Well, we're here. We try to be here every Thursday night. After tonight, we're going to be on a half hour later because there's a prophetic show that's on before mine is. And I like to listen to him, too. And it's Randy Chandler, not to push his program or anything. But he has prophesied to me, and he does a pretty good job over there. So I figure, you know, I don't want to take anybody from listening to him, and I'm afraid I may not get them if they're listening to him anyway. And so we're going to move the program till a half hour later, starting next week. But we're hoping to be here every Thursday, starting from 11:30 in the evening till 12:30. So... make sure everybody and come back. And if you guys got some things that the Lord has given you, if you've got some testimonies about things that God has brought you through, please share them with us here. Lee, can I bring up your testimony? Or would you rather not?
No.
About the poisoning?
Yeah.
Is it okay? You want to tell it, and that way I won't add anything in there that I shouldn't?
No, what was the girl's name that was End Times?
Yes, that's me, End Times.
Yeah, what is your name?
My name is Jackie.
Okay, have I talked to you before?
Only if you've come on Women's Ministry Alliance. We have our show on, there's like three of us. It's a Women's Ministry Alliance on Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, okay. No, I just started getting on here because Cheryl got our show on here. And I think she's going to do another day or two on here, and I'm going to get one or two set up myself. So,
well, I'm going to save you guys in my favorites so I can hear you.
Yes.
Oh, praise
okay.
God.
So you're
well, thank you, ladies.
Tonight, huh?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Oh, praise God. Yeah, we kind of do that, too. We stick around in the late hours. I don't know, that's when God talks to me a lot more.
Oh, same here, same here.
And I keep thinking the women are coming forth.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
It is.
The Lord's doing it. Lee, would you tell about the poisoning and how God told you what was going on?
Okay. Actually, I've been put down quite a bit for telling this because I'm sure... you know, most of them think I'm crazy and that I didn't hear from the Lord and all that stuff. But the Lord spoke to me and told me I was being poisoned. And I didn't really want to believe it myself in my mind. And I thought, but you don't tell the Lord no or not. So I just left it alone.
Somebody's on the program on, and so it's echoing in the background.
Oh, I am.
It was, but
okay.
It's not right now, so go ahead.
Okay. Anyway, I was supposed to go somewhere for a meeting and, you know, make a trip, but it was 2 days later. In other words, I left 2 days early, and I really didn't intend to, but it was like God just swooshed me out of there. And so I did, and I made it home. It was 700 miles. I did stop, you know, and sleep for a couple of hours. But after I got home, it was like I slept, okay? I kind of left out, you know, for 3 or 4 years here and started coming back. It's like, Jesus walked in my door. And he came into the den where I was laying on the couch, and he sat on the coffee table, and he took his hands. They were open, you know, face down. and he ran them from my feet to my head and back to my feet. And he was, you know, like maybe 12 inches up from my body, you know, not touching my body. And then I was passed out by then. And I began to get well from that moment on. And my daughter said, that's it. You know, you're healed. That's, you know, she believed all along. She had prayed for me. She said, when I walked into the door, she didn't say anything, but she and my friend were there, and she thought, my God, what's wrong with my mother? I looked completely different than when I had left. Anyway, so it has been a gradual thing, and I don't know if it would have been faster if I delayed it in any respect, but it was because I was so shocked, and I wanted to know what was it, you know, that caused all this, and who did this to me. So about 7 months later, there was a prophetic woman, a friend of my daughter's, that talked to her and got me on the phone, and she told me who actually administered that to me. And, of course, nobody believes that either. And, you know, I'm out there kind of at a loss, you know, what was happening. And I did not find out until just about a month or two ago, that there were actually three people involved in the plot that scared me. And, you know, why, I still don't know. And I was told, forget it, forgive, and go on. I'm having a hard time doing that. So y'all please pray for me. Because, you know, it's just the woman in you, you want to know, did your husband have anything to do with it? You know, what happened here? Were you supposed to be a sacrifice? Or was there an insurance policy? Or, you know, just what was it? And I was so naive, I guess, and innocent. And I had the Holy Ghost, and I was ready to serve the Lord and with this, all this ministry. And, you know, I thought I just believed too much. So when I left there, I was begging for discernment. And also I began to check into some other ministries like deliverance and satanic things and witchcraft, and I found out what a lot of these people did, and it was unbelievable, but these things do go on down there. And so anyway, I appreciate everybody's prayers, and keep praying for me that, you know, I come through and just do exactly and only what God wants me to do.
Amen. That's amazing. Wow.
Hey, if anybody's out there, if you would like to give your website or your radio program name and stuff, now would be a real good time to do that. Lee, you want to tell what yours is going to be?
Well, I signed up as Sarah Lee, which used to be my little internet name I use all the time. And but I'm known as Legally on the radio, you know, on the different programs that
I
am on.
We only got about 2 minutes, and I need to finish up.
Anyway, I'm not signed up yet, but it will be, and I'll let y'all know.
Okay. Well, I want to thank each and every person that's tuned in to hear this program tonight, and I also want to thank you, Lily, and all our callers for their input as well. Uh-oh, 30 seconds. All right, my website is www.jcovercomersministries.com. My YouTube page is www.youtube.com/ncovercomers. And you can write to me at jcovercomersministries@yahoo.com. I hope you all come back again and join us again. End Times has his www.blogtalkradio.com/WMANETWORK. God bless you. We'll be online here on the chat for just a little while. Bye-bye.
Yes, thanks.
Yeah. I've seen my God.